Today, on The Journey.
Don't you want to get to the end of your life and know that you have expended all your effort for Christ? Every breath you want to use in worship and honor and service to Him, all the days of your life.
Wholehearted faith is forged in the kiln of experience, faithfulness, and courage. Today, Ron Moore shares the three principles that fire that kiln and make ironclad shields for the battles you face. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's uplifting devotional, Be Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Be Strong and Courageous is available at ronmoore.org, and I'll have more about it later in the broadcast. Now, here's Ron with the message, Caleb's Calling, on the Journey.
One of the guys that has inspired me a lot in ministry has been a guy by the name of George Mueller. Mueller was a man of faith and a man of action. His ministry in Bristol, England, very significant in follow-up work for D.L. Moody, as D.L. Moody did evangelistic crusades over in England. He preached for C.H. Spurgeon, so you know he was sound theologically, and he inspired the missionary faith of Hudson Taylor, who went out to China. When he was 29 years old in 1834, he looked around England and he saw something that disturbed him. He saw that there were 3,600 orphans roaming the streets. And he also saw that in England, twice as many, over 7,000 children under the age of 8 years old, were already in prison. Now, a lot of people hear things like that and they look at things like that and they say, well, that's too bad. That's a shame, shouldn't happen, and that's all they do. But Mueller was a person who said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to see it and turn my face away from it. I'm going to respond to the need. So he started 5 orphan houses during his life, ministering to 10,024 orphans. He did this while he was preaching 3 times a week, from 1830 to 1898 at his church. And listen to this. When he turned 70 years old, when most people are kind of sliding for home, he said, I'm going to fulfill my lifelong dream of being a missionary. And so from the time he was 70 years old until 87 years old, he traveled to 42 countries, preaching to an estimated 3 million people. From the end of his travels, when he was 87 years old in 1892, until he died in March of 1898, he preached every weekend at his church, led Bible studies. And one evening on March the 9th, 1898, he led a Bible study in his church, a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. He went back to his room. He actually never had a home. He just lived there in one of the rooms of the orphanage. They brought up a cup of tea to him at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they found him dead on the floor beside his bed. Isn't that the way you want to go out? Don't you want to extinguish your candle, burning it hard and bright for Jesus Christ? Don't you want to know that whatever your age, every breath that God gives you, every breath you want to use in worship and honor and service to Him, not sliding for home, not packing it up, not waiting until He calls you home, but living with Him hard all the days of your life. Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 13. Our primary passage today is going to be Joshua 14, but we need to start in Numbers. And let me set the context. The children of Israel have been in slavery for 400 years. They've been crying out to the Lord to send a deliverer. He does in the man of Moses. And Moses comes in and he takes the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And when he got them right before the promised land, Moses, like any good leader, chose 12 spies to go check out the land. He chose a spy from every tribe. And so these men, probably as they went into the promised land, there were 7 groups that inhabited the land. They went incognito. They probably went in 2s or 3s, and they took notes on the land. And one of the places they checked out was a place named Hebron. And that was so important for the nation of Israel because Hebron was the place that the patriarchs were buried, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But the descendants of Anak inhabited Hebron. And the descendants of Anak, the Anakites, were men of great stature. The Jewish historian Josephus says this: the Anakites were a race of giants who had bodies so large and countenances so entirely different from other men that they were surprising to the sight and terrible to the hearing. The spies couldn't get over that. And when they returned, they said, man, the land is fertile. It is a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. But there's a problem. There are giants in the land. And when we looked at them, we seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes. And they looked the same to us. And these spies came back with the report, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. Look at chapter 13, verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people. Just stop there a second. People are murmuring. They're in fear. A frenzy has taken place. But here's a leader. Here's a strong man. Here's someone who will stand up even if he has to stand alone. Caleb stands up and he silences the people. And he says, we should go take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Don't listen to everybody else. God is with us. He's promised us the land. Let's go take it. But at that point, the people, again, worked up in a frenzy of fear. Chapter 14, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Well, you remember what God said? He said, here's the deal. You're not going back to Egypt, but you're not going to the promised land either. Because of your murmuring and because of your grumbling and because of your fearfulness and because of your faithlessness, everyone 20 years or older is going to die right here in the desert, except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. Look at chapter 14, verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a what? A different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. You'll want to circle that word. You'll see that word describing Caleb as we go through our passages today. I will bring him into the land that he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Wholeheartedly. That means that Caleb followed God without reservation. He followed God without hesitation. There was no partial obedience. There was no playing church. He followed God wholeheartedly. Don't you want that word to describe you? Don't you want someone at the end of the day when your casket is right here to say, I don't know everything about his life, but I know this. He or she followed God wholeheartedly. Don't you want that? How do you develop that? Well, let me give you a couple principles from Caleb's life, and we'll kind of flesh these out. First one is this. Wholehearted faith locks onto the person of God. We will find a little later on that Caleb was 40 years old when he took that spy trip into the promised land. Now, at that point, Israel had been freed from Egypt for 2 years, so for the first 38 years of his life, all he knew was slavery. Think about it. His hands were probably calloused and hard from his work as a slave. They may have been stained as he mixed the mud for the mortar, for the bricks of the buildings that were built. No doubt he prayed all day long like the other Israelites did that God would send a deliverer. And then on that day, God sent Moses. And Caleb was there. He saw the 10 plagues that God brought against the nation of Egypt. He was there that night as he huddled with his family. He may have been the one that went out and put the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death passed over. He loaded his cart with his family and took off for the promised land. He was there when God parted the Red Sea and he walked across on dry ground. He saw all that. He was on the other side looking back when he saw the Red Sea come back together and destroy the Egyptian army. He saw that God was a God who was all-powerful, who cared for Israel, who was with Israel, who protected Israel. And he locked onto the person and the power and the faithfulness of God. As I was studying this, I just thought, but the other 10 saw that as well. The other people in Israel experienced the same things. But why is it that God can take people through the same experiences? And some of them, because of that, man, they say God is great, and they lock onto his person. And the next challenge comes, and they say, because of what God did, I'm ready to take on whatever God has in front of me. But then the others say, I don't think God can do that again. I don't know the answer. But I know this, Caleb locked onto the person of God. And when Israel said, man, we should just get a leader and go back to Egypt. Let's go back into slavery. Can you imagine after all God had done? The leaders of Israel, when they heard that, they tore their clothes. And here's what Caleb said. Again, think of his strength as he stands up and says in verse 7 of chapter 14, and he said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. See, wholehearted faith locks on to the person of God, his power, the fact that he can deliver you out of anything you need delivered from, his omniscience. He's all-knowing. Whatever you're going through, it's not taking him by surprise. The fact that he is with you wherever you are, promising never to leave you or forsake you. Several years ago, violence broke out in a city where we had some missionaries at the time, and a group of men broke into a police station, and they freed a lot of the prisoners, alleged murderers, and they set the police station on fire, and then this gang went throughout the city. They looted banks, they looted businesses, and they terrorized the city with guns and bombs, and we had missionaries right in the middle of that. So we were concerned, and here's an email that I got when this was going on. Dear praying friends, let me emphasize that this is not a letter of panic, but rather information for those of you whom we know will join us in prayer for the needs of this country. The Albanian socialist-led government has promised to put down the revolt quickly, but at present, reports indicate that special police forces are being stopped at the bridge before entrance into the city. Apparently, the bridge has been mined. All remains quiet in Tirana. Let me stress that we are not in danger. Please pray, however, that the unrest is quickly squelched by the government and not allowed to spread in other areas. And then I love the way they signed it, and that's what grabbed me most, in his grip. Now, they were playing down a lot of the danger they were in, but I love the way they signed it, in his grip. That's what wholehearted faith is. It's locked into the person of God because it knows that God has you in his grip. And you may be saying, you know what? I would love to have wholehearted faith. I just don't have it yet. I'd love to grow into that. Well, okay, just start with this basic, powerful truth that you are in his grip. That if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, if you have a sincere, true faith in Jesus Christ, you are in his grip and nothing can snatch you out of his hands, Jesus says. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, if God is for us, what? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Think about that. If God loves us so much that he didn't spare his own son for us, but he gave Jesus up for us, and through Christ we have eternity. If God has given us eternity through his son, don't you think that he can take care of all the other things in our lives? Anything we go through in this life is small in perspective to an eternity with God. For I'm convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present or future, any power, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is found where? Only in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're locked onto the person of God through Jesus Christ, we know that nothing can pull us from his grip. Wholehearted faith begins with an understanding of who God is. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the challenges you face. They may seem insurmountable. But I know this. If you're a believer, you are in his grip. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And I don't know what he's going to do in your life, but I guarantee you this. He will give you all the strength you need to do what he's called you to do. Here's the second principle. Not only is wholehearted faith locked onto the person of God, but wholehearted faith is locked onto the promises of God. So turn to Joshua chapter 14. And when you turn from Numbers 14 to Joshua 14, you just covered 45 years in Israel's history. And now Joshua has conquered 35 cities in the promised land. One by one, God delivers them to Israel. And chapter 14 through 22 of Joshua is basically just Joshua dividing up the land among the 12 tribes. But look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. Remember, that's their base camp. And Caleb, the son of Zephunneh, the Kenite, said to him, "You remember, Joshua, what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, have followed the Lord my God," how? Wholeheartedly. So 45 years later, Caleb had a conversation with Moses. It's not recorded in Scripture, but Caleb says, here's how it went. Look at verse 9. "On that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked as you went in to spy out the land in the Hebron area, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly.'" Look at verse 10. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Isn't that great? I'm 85 years old. I've hung on to this promise for 45 years. Now let me go at it. You know the Anakites are there. You know they're big. You know they're scary. You know that's what brought fear into Israel back 45 years ago, but I'm going to go take them. I'm just as vigorous and strong to do that today as I was 45 years ago. Now think about that. When a lot of people have to wait 45 years for a promise, they get a little disillusioned. They may even get a little bitter. But Caleb said, "Man, I'm just as ready to take Hebron today as I was back then. Joshua, let me have it." Look at verse 13. "Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Zephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Zephunneh, the Kenite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel," how? "Wholeheartedly." And we won't take time to read it, but in chapter 15, it explains that Caleb went in. He led the charge, 85 years old, not sliding for home. He led the charge, took the land, and he just kept on going down the road and took another city while he was at it. He had this death grip on the promises of God. That's why his faith was wholehearted, without reservation, without hesitation. Caleb was different from the rest, a wholehearted trust in God. Isn't that what you want? Can you imagine how the young men looked up to Caleb? They saw Caleb, 85 years old, come saying, "Joshua, 45 years ago, I got this promise. I want it today. I'm just as ready to take it today as I was then." Can you imagine them saying, "Man, I don't know. I don't know how many years God's going to give me, but I guarantee you this, every year of them and every breath of every day of every year, I want to be just like Caleb. I want to be like him. I want to use every breath God gives me to serve him wholeheartedly." And I guarantee you, none of us were there, and it's not recorded in Scripture. But when Caleb died, I bet a word kept coming up. Wholehearted. For the believer, the blessing of years comes with great responsibility. Now, none of us can keep from getting old or older. But the blessing of those years, and every year is a blessing, come with tremendous responsibility because God is giving you experiences that no one else has. And if you hoard those experiences, it is just as if you had a lot of money and you hoarded the money and didn't share it with anyone. When God blesses you with years like Caleb, you need to be a person who demonstrates what wholehearted faith is all about. You got to step up. You got to take what God has given you and share it with another generation. I talked with a guy last night, and he said, I want to follow Jesus. I just don't know how. And you can show him. Those of you who have been a believer for many years, you can show that individual what it means to follow hard after Christ. You can let them know what it means to parent when you're in the middle of your career and it's busy and you're trying to balance everything. You can let them know the struggles in marriage. You can let them know the struggles in losing a job or going through a challenging time. You have the opportunity and experience to do that, but you got to get up and do it. You got to be involved. You are robbing yourself out of wholehearted service to God, and you're robbing the church when you don't use your gift. Some of you may say, I need that. I'm dying. I want to know how it is to follow Christ. I want to live this Christian life, but I go to bed guilty every night because I'm trying to balance work and family and service and all this stuff. I don't know how to do it. I need someone who's done it to tell me, or they didn't do it and they can tell me what not to do. We need some Calebs to step forward. And we need some Mrs. Calebs, whatever her name was, as well. Don't you want that? To invest your life, things are going to change. We can't go back. We can go forward. And that's where God wants us to go.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assistance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, in his encouraging devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story. In its pages, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. Get your free copy of Be Strong and Courageous with a visit to ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Joshua is going to remind those in Israel in this farewell speech that God is fighting for you. And secondly, God is faithful. He keeps all his promises. Look at verse 5. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Look at verse 14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Now I got to tell you, there aren't many things I can guarantee, but I can guarantee this one thing. God's promises will never fail. So when you read a promise in the Word of God, you can take it to the bank. You can wrap your life around it. You can stake your eternity on it. The promises of God will never fail. Numbers says, chapter 23, God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Jesus says in Luke chapter 21, heaven and earth will pass away. That's for sure. But my words will never pass away. From salvation to our daily living, to the comfort that he promises us when we go through challenging times, to the confidence that he gives us when we live our life, to the blessings, to the challenges, to eternity itself, God's promises will never fail. Hebrews chapter 6 says this, verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There is an anchor in our soul that holds us down. No matter how hard the winds are blowing, the promises of God will never fail. They are an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And Joshua wants the people to remember that. He's going to be gone. And he has to know that they remember that the promises of God are certain and secure.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And remember that a free copy of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Be Strong and Courageous, is waiting for you in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.